Our study tonight is out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 51, verses 34 through 58, God's recompense to Babylon for all of its violence against his people, not just some of it. The Abrahamic covenant promised God's blessing on those Gentiles who blessed Abraham's seed, God's curse on those who cursed the seed of Abraham, a covenant that was applied in the destruction of Babylon. You know, it's interesting, when you go through the Word of God, God never forgets any of the words that he says or any of the promises that he makes. And when he makes a covenant, boy, that is locked in, and he keeps that in mind. Interesting, as Israel was going through the wilderness wanderings, you remember there was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Guess what? That recalls Genesis chapter 15, where when God passed through the pieces of the animals, the covenant animals that had been separated, and he was promising to Abraham that he was going to give him the land of Canaan, there was a smoking pot and a burning flame that represented the presence of God passing through them. So all through Israel's journeys, God was reminding himself of his own covenant to Abraham to give them the land. That should have been a wake-up call to everybody out in the wilderness. God is constantly remembering that he's going to get us to the land. So they were absolutely without excuse for doubting the Lord all those times. But God's that way. Well, the Babylonians had inflicted not only physical violence on God's people, but also spiritual violence on them. So the Lord promised to recompense Babylon for both kinds of violence. Jeremiah 51, 34 to 58. So we view this passage for our insight and our edification. I'd like to read the verses first, and then we'll look at them. Of course, I'm reading from the King James Version, but feel free to follow along in the version that you had. Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 34 through 58. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has devoured me. He hath crushed me. He has made me an empty vessel. He has swallowed me up like a dragon. He has filled his belly with my delicacies, and he has cast me out. The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitant of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her water or sea and make her springs dry. And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, an astonishment and hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions, they shall yell as lions' whelps. In their heat I will make their feasts, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, and like rams with male goats. How is Shishak taken, and how is the praise of the whole earth surprised? How has Babylon become an astonishment among the nations? The sea has come upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land, and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any man pass thereby. And I will punish Bel, that's the god of Babylon, in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. And the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people, go you out of the midst of her, and deliver you every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. And lest your heart be faint, and you fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land, a rumor shall both come one year, and after that another year shall come a rumor, the violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven image of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon. For the spoilers shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. As Babylon hath caused slain of Israel to fall, so Babylon shall fall, the slain of all the earth. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come into your mind. We are confounded, because we have heard reproach. Shame hath covered our faces, for strangers are come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's temple. Wherefore, behold, the days come, saith our Lord, that I will do judgment upon her graven images, and through all her land the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith the Lord. A sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord hath spoiled Babylon, destroyed out of her the great voice. When her waves do roar like great waters, the noise of their voices uttered. Because the spoilers come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken, every one of their bows is broken. For the Lord God of recompenses shall surely pay them back. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people that labor shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. Okay, some of this information we're going to have to explain because the King's English is a little thick. But God promised to take vengeance on Babylon for its physical violence of his people. The Babylonians had physically been violent against the people of Israel, unusually so. In Jeremiah 51, 34, and 35, the prophet Jeremiah presented the complaint of the Hebrew people against Babylon. The Hebrew people had been figuratively devoured and crushed by Nebuchadnezzar, made like an empty vessel and had swallowed by a monster only to be expelled. You'll notice in Jeremiah, Nebuchadnezzar is spelled Nebuchadrezzar. It's an R instead of an N there. The reason for that is when you translate from one Semitic language to another, the labials, there are certain letters that are labials, the soft letters like the R's and the N's are often interchangeable. The name of Nebuchadnezzar is actually Nebuchadnezzar, but in some places he's called Nebuchadrezzar. So you just have to remember it's the same person. Anyway, the people had been figuratively devoured and crushed by Nebuchadnezzar, made like an empty vessel and swallowed by a monster only to be expelled. Thus the Hebrew people called for vengeance on Babylon for such physical violence. Well, in verses 36 to 40, the Lord responded by promising to punish Babylon for that physical violence. God promised to plead the cause of vengeance that was voiced by his people. Why is God promising to administer vengeance? The Abrahamic covenant. God had said, I will bless those who bless your seed, speaking of Abraham, and I will curse them that curse your seed. Now, God had designed for the Babylonians, and he allowed the Babylonians to come in to punish the people of Judah because they had sinned against the Lord. But nevertheless, they came and they wrought evil. And of course, the Babylonians were due for judgment. They'd been idolaters for generations. So God was going to administer vengeance upon them. The Lord would do so by drying up Babylon's water. What's interesting, when Cyrus came in, the Persian came in, he diverted the waters of the Euphrates that actually had gone under a part of the wall and through the city and out so that the Babylonians had a perpetual water supply. That's why they could stay in the city indefinitely, though they were under siege. But what happened is Cyrus diverted the waters of the Euphrates around, and the area underneath the wall that had been the water was an open area, so his soldiers just walked in. And when they walked in, they found all the soldiers were drunk, so they killed them. They killed him. It was very easy to take the city of Babylon at night. So the Lord would do so by drying up Babylon's water and making the city a heap of ruins and a haunt of wild animals without human habitant. The word dragons is better treated as jackals. It's not real dragons. It's when they translated the King James Version, they did not know some of the Hebrew words that well. It's back in 1611. We've learned a lot more about Hebrew lexicography, which is the definitions of Hebrew words. The word dragon should have been translated jackal. Anyway, and that's where they are today. You got jackals and owls and lizards and things like that that are haunting Babylon, but no human lives there. Though the Babylonians were like violent, fierce lions, God would figuratively prepare a feast for them and make them drunk so that they would fall asleep, never to wake up in the permanent sleep of death. Now, maybe that the Lord meant this somewhat literally because they were having a drunk party. They thought that the Persians couldn't get in the city to attack them, but they were all drunk by the time the Persians came in. I think they came in during the night, and they destroyed them and killed all the soldiers. They would become like lambs to the slaughter and like rams and male goats that were sacrificed. Jeremiah 51, 41 to 44 then predicted the coming great destructions of the city of Babylon and its wall, of its god Bel, of the complete permanent devastation of the countryside of the nation of Babylon. The wall of Babylon was extremely tall and very, very thick. It was made of mud brick. And the Babylonians were absolutely proud. They thought there's absolutely no nation in the world that can get over the walls. They were probably right about that. But Cyrus the Persian was real smart. Like I said, he diverted the water of the Euphrates that went under the wall, and so that made a clear space. They actually could walk standing up under the wall where the water had been, and they just walked right in and took it without having to destroy the wall. But they did eventually destroy its wall. And it would destroy the god Bel, and of the complete permanent devastation of the countryside of the nation of Babylon. In fact, if you go to Babylon today, you can still see the ruins. It's a huge city, but they're just wrecked all over the place. And there are people that will pass by, but even the Arabs to this day don't like to camp there because they feel the place is bad omens, bad luck, and so forth, so they kind of stay away from the area. The Lord called his people who would still reside in Babylon to flee from the city to avoid his fierce anger upon it, that the heavens and earth would rejoice at Babylon's destruction as she must fall for slaying his people, just as she had slain the nations of the whole Middle Eastern part of the earth. Now this is an amazing prophecy given the time of Jeremiah. Babylon, the city of Babylon, was kind of like today's New York City. Can you imagine New York City being destroyed in such a way that nobody ever lives there? I mean, you've got millions of people that are living there today. But for a prophecy like this to be made, when Babylon was the queen jewel city of that part of the world, it was an amazing thing. It was almost unbelievable for people to hear this type of prophecy. But it came true. It's still true to this day. Well, God also promised to take vengeance on Babylon for its spiritual violence on his people. Whoops, sorry. Let me get this up again. Here we go. All right. In Jeremiah 51, verses 50 to 51, the godly remnant recalled how they had been put to shame by the act of Gentile Babylonians entering into the holy places of the temple of the Lord. Can you imagine what it's like? What would it be like if some pagans were to come in and desecrate our sanctuary, putting pagan altars all over the place and so forth? That would not be nearly as bad as doing this to the temple of God. The temple of God was a place where only the priests actually could go into the temple sanctuary itself. But psychologically, it was very traumatic to see these Gentile pagan soldiers come in and loot the place and destroy it and burn down a place that was counted to be holy. And that really bothered the people. It was emotionally and mentally and spiritually traumatic. So such violence against not only God's holiness but also against the consciences of God's people would be avenged. And starting at verse 52, the Lord promised to execute judgment on Babylon for that sin. This judgment would surely come regardless of Babylon's efforts to defend herself against it, so that a great cry regarding great destruction would arise from the city. Noting that God would surely repay Babylon for this spiritual abuse, he promised to lay the city waste, defeating her warriors and breaking their bows in pieces. It's interesting, it's the warriors that desecrated the sanctuary, so the warriors are going to get killed because of that. And they had used the power of their weapons. And so God says, all right, I'm going to destroy their weapons too. All of the great men of Babylon would be made drunk with God's judgment and thus sleep the lasting sleep of death. Babylon's broad walls that she had trusted for security would be flattened, her gates burned up, and efforts to fortify those protective gates would only add to the flames of their destruction. In other words, people, as the Babylonians tried to fortify the walls, fortified the gates, and these gates would have been huge wooden gates and so forth. The more they fortified them with wood, the more it just added to the flames, so just a bigger bonfire. So God says all they're going to do is just make a bigger bonfire for themselves. So the lesson is God promised to avenge his people of the physical violence done to them by the Babylonians through physically destroying the city and making it a permanent heap of ruins. And God would avenge his people of the spiritual violence done to them by the Babylonians' desecration of God's temple through laying Babylon waste, defeating her warriors, breaking their bows, leveling the great broad wall and gates behind which the Babylonians had once trusted for their nation's security. The people were idolatrous in Babylon. They not only worshiped Baal and God, but they looked at their wall as a security. That was their nation's security. People from the countryside would come into the huge city of Babylon to hide whenever they came under attack from those outside. So leveling the walls left them undefended, and they had to fight. And, of course, they lost their lives. The application is, may we realize that God views different kinds of abuses, be they physical or mental or emotional or spiritual, as real sins, nonetheless, and that he will punish each kind of abuse for the sin that it is. So may we take care not only to avoid physically abusing other people, but also to avoid abusing them emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, for God will avenge all types of abuses that we commit. You know, it's interesting how the Bible tells us to be kind towards one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. It's really important that we do this to all people. God wants us to owe no man anything but to love all men. So kindness ought to be something that is a hallmark of the Christian. So the last thing we should be doing is not only physically abusing people, we shouldn't be emotionally or mentally abusing other people at all. And then if we have suffered any kind of abuse, may we be sure that God will punish the wrongdoers in line with his perfect righteousness. You know, if the Lord was sensitive to the fact that the people were really bothered by the fact that the Babylonians had come in and desecrated the temple of God, and so he would avenge them for that particular sin, boy, he's very, very sensitive to all the things that occur and all the sufferings that people go through. So we need to be really careful of our own behavior, and we also need to be cognizant of the fact that if we have been abusively treated, God is going to take care of that in his time and in his way.